Hello, this is David Mack, and I just want to say that we've got a lot of calls from people with concerns, and amazingly, it's the same concerns that all of us have, including myself. And lots of times I try to give myself answers, and I'm not really satisfied with my answers because of my acknowledging, or at least that I'm imperfect and I'm limited as far as experience is concerned. But I'm very, very privileged to have a good friend of mine, Peter. Peter has written a book. It's a philosophical style book, and it is Fragments of Reality. And this book, I would suggest that everyone really get a copy of this book. It's one of a very hot seller. And look at some of the ideas I thought. And so having Peter with me now is quite a blessing. The book is how one can live fully and having success without compromise. Peter's an exceptionally talented person. And he teaches wisdom is concerned, the speech of the language of healing people and so forth. We privileged to have him. Why don't you say hello to the audience, and we can get right into some of these things that is concerning all of us. How are you doing?
Hello, David. It's great to be back. I'm doing great.
That's good. I was just speaking to the audience. I was telling them some of the thoughts that I've had as far as certain answers and things being limited, perfect. One thing I pulled out of your book was that recycling, and it was like a television, a TV set.
Okay.
And that struck me a little bit. What did you mean by that? And let your audience, especially your audience that's read this book or whatever, let them know what you were alluding to.
Yeah, well, the piece called Recycling from my book, that's about basically about our thinking and our mind and how our mind works, and it's also related to another article or piece in my book called Knowledge versus Wisdom. And in that article I'm telling that knowledge is not necessarily wisdom, and by that I mean that whenever you read something, you hear something or get some other information in, and if you do not process it and truly get it within your system, and it doesn't change something in you, it's just information, it's knowledge, and knowledge is, it's not first-hand experience, only wisdom is. So you can get, obviously you can get wisdom, you don't have to do everything by yourself, you can learn from other people as well or different sources, but what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom is that knowledge is just something you can just put from one ear in and from another one out, and it doesn't change anything in you. But wisdom is something that you have experienced, and it's, you are acting differently. So basically, you can in the book you can find an example where I'm telling that you can read all the material available about cars, for example, how to drive, how does the car function. But if you have ever driven a car, you are totally an entirely different position than a person who actually hasn't read about anything about cars or anything how to drive a car, but he has driven a car. So the person who has driven a car can easily explain and tell it in many, many ways to other people, that you know how it actually feels like and what is the experience of driving a car. But another person who has never driven a car, you know, cannot tell anything about it. He has a lot of knowledge, certainly more than the person who has driven the car, but that doesn't mean that it's wisdom for him. Still, if he's behind the wheel and he's supposed to drive, technically he's supposed to drive, he knows how things work, how all the pedals and how the steering wheel and the gears and all these things work, but he hasn't driven a mile. So knowledge is not the same as wisdom, and recycling is basically the thing happening in our mind. We get a lot of information in, we get a lot of different material during our days from different sources, media, newspapers, we read, we walk, we talk, it's all over us. But seldom we actually convert it to wisdom. So we don't start to practice the things we get in. The input, what we're having, is not doing anything for us. So recycling can happen in various of ways. And one of them is, for example, that you like to learn something new. You want to pick up a course, you want to study something, it can be a big thing or smaller thing. And your first initial aim is that you want to actually achieve something, gain something new, maybe a new skill, or learn to, for example, drive a car or whatever. And you jump into this new exciting lesson or skill, or you pick up the book and you start to read it. And after the exercise, then what happens? Do you still remember why you started to do it, or do you jump to another things in your mind, something new and better than the original goal you're having? Or do you truly stop and really make the final effort and make a change and start to practice what you're actually learning? So what I'm saying is that many times our mind plays tricks on us. We are lured by the fact that we are constantly on move. We're becoming, we're always looking forward, we're always getting some new exciting things. And when you once again then looking back, what have you really done, and have you changed? Have you taken the advice? Have you converted the knowledge to wisdom? Have you acted differently? Have you achieved those goals which actually were your original motivation and your ways to the reasons why you wanted to pursue that particular exercise? So that's broadly and very quickly what recycling is about. So it's basically about mind and knowledge and wisdom, and why and how they are not exactly the same thing.
Yeah, well, interesting. I have, again, listening to you break that down very, very well. What is your concept as far as is a recycling based on what you've said, and I hope I have this correct, is basically a collection of information we've been exposed to and reproduce basically and put it in our minds, and we have to decide whether we want to sit it out or make it a part of us. Now, based on that, then what can you do with this phrase, nothing new under the sun? Now, if reading information there's nothing new there under the sun because it recycles, does it not? And then, fact is, matter can need to be created. In other words, everything on this earth has always been here, and it will stay here, and it won't go away. I mean, it's just here. So we just kind of go in a circle to recycle, and so there's nothing new. It's just that we decide what we're going to use and what we're going to put aside.
Well, that's certainly true in a way. There's information, there's a lot of information, and we regard it as something new. But if you're looking deeper, we basically still facing with the same issues like people 2,000 years ago. We still having, the relationship between people. We have different emotions. We still having, we still killing people the same way. We still doing pretty much the same stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of more technology around us, but still the very basic human needs and the issues we're facing are the same. So in that sense, there's nothing new under the sun. And on the other hand, obviously, we may say that the technology and the science has went ahead from those times, and certainly we can see the difference. But on the other hand, those things were available for us. The nature has been the same. It hasn't changed. The same sun. Things are changing, obviously. And there's never the same time. There's always the now time, and it's always changing. So the change is the constant. But the issues we're facing are sort of coming over and over again. And in that sense, one could also say that the life we are living is sort of the framework or the states or the setting for the events occurring to us. And the true life or living and the interpretation of those things are happening in your mind. So you can observe and see things happening to other people, but only in your own mind, you create the relationships and the meaning for those circumstances happening to you. So you have to do the hard work, the heavy lifting, and make it happen. Make the meanings and learn from those lessons coming on your way each and every day.
Okay. Well, then again, nothing new under the sun. Keeping that in mind, there's only eight notes on a scale in Western music. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Out of those eight notes, I will take them and compose a symphony. You will take them and compose a symphony. But there's still eight notes. We don't go outside of those eight notes. But yet and still, my symphony is going to sound a lot differently than yours. And this has been done, creating music from just eight notes and tons of music from that. So the point that I'm making here is that we both have the same eight notes. That's it. Let's assume that's it in the universe. Of course, we talk music because other music has different scales. But if that were the only eight notes in the world, in the universe, yet no one will produce the same symphony. But yet, so we collect things in life that way. I might be exposed to the same thing that you've been exposed to, but I'm going to collect and put it together and behave with it differently.
Exactly.
What is your thoughts here? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, we basically, each and every one of us is creating all the time. The nature is not repeating itself. If you just, if snowing, just, experience the snow and see the snowflakes, and they, none of them is the same. They're not copies of each other. They are obviously looking like pretty much the same, but they're unique and different. And that's the same thing with each and every one of us. So we are creating our own music and our own art by living it, acting. And it's up to us to make the difference and appreciate it.
Yes. Well, so I guess the bottom line is what's used, new to someone, excuse me, is used to another. And I saw a store the other day with the name on it, new to you. It was a secondhand store. What he was saying was, the product is not new, but it's new to the person because that's new to them. It's the first time they've been exposed to it. So the clever way, it's a used store. They were selling appliances. But the name of the store, again, was New to You.
No.
Well, that's good. And there's another area here. I was just thinking, as far as time is concerned, everyone complains about time, or watches, so forth, and the greatest excuse one has to do with time. I thought that was quite interesting. What does that mean? Elaborate on that. The greatest excuse that a person has to do with time.
Well, the time is an illusion in a way. It's only in your mind. And it may sound a bit funny or contradictory in the beginning, but you only have this moment right now. And whatever you do, you have to do it right now. And you can do three things. You can focus on this moment and be in this moment, and only in this moment. But we seldom do that. Another thing we can do is, and this is also happening just right now, you can look back. You can look backwards in your life. So you can just reflect what's been happening. And the third thing you can do is look forward. So you extrapolating, or you planning, or you worrying about your future. But all those things you do exactly now. So that's sort of a one way to try to visualize and give an idea how the time is an illusion. And time excuse is just one tiny trick once again by your mind. And what I mean by time excuse is that often we say that, I would love to do that, but I don't have the time, or I would love to do that, but I need a bit more time to be prepared for it, or later on when I have this or that more.
So what you're saying is, even if you're saying is, even if time is an excuse, it can be a good excuse, because if you've just introduced me to radio, then I'll have to take time to learn how to play that radio, or to make it work, don't I? So in other words, time might be an excuse, but it can be a good one, and we most of the time we accept that, sort of in harmony with society.
Well, many times we just don't want to face the truth and face the situation we are, and we're just postponing or just, using time as an excuse, like you said. And sometimes it's a proper excuse, but still, we seldom are exactly here. If you're in a traffic, you're in a traffic jam, and you're a bit late, you wanna be so desperately in that meeting, and you're getting angry, or just don't feel like being exactly sitting in the car in the traffic, and you feel that you cannot do anything about it. But on the other hand, you could just face the fact and say that, okay, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm already late. I cannot change the fact that, I just cannot be in the exactly now in the meeting. So you could just relax, enjoy the music, see the scenery, and be in the moment. But that seldom happens, and it's still the choice is yours to make. And unfortunately, we can only live now. You cannot live. Oh, that's the illusion you're having, that you will say that I will do that when I have more money. I will do that when I'm retired. I will do that when I have the holiday. That's the time excuse. You postpone a lot of things, and how do you know that you can actually live on those days? You project to do all those great things. So I'm not saying that you should not plan, you should not take time to learn something. Only thing I'm saying, that just consider that you're living now, and you're living fully each and every moment, and appreciating what you're having at this point, because it's not repeating itself once again. So each and every moment you're having is unique.
Okay, well, that's interesting, and I know that we all say the time doesn't pass. It's been here and it's going to stay. We are the ones that pass. I think we have the way around. What do you think? We always say time goes by. No, we go by. Time is stationary.
Yeah, it's time only exists in your mind. You create a timeline in your mind, so it is an sort of an illusion, and you can only, ask any scientist what is time, and they start to tell you typically about movement of sun, movement of Earth around the sun or the moon or whatever the clock ticking. It's just about movement, but nothing else. But still, you are not closer to the reality. What is time? And that's the thing. We are only experiencing things right now, and you can only decide whether to be in the moment or just drift away and go to the fiction channel or go to the history channel. And none of those are more true than the moment you're having. Or another way of saying, all the rest is just illusionary than the moment you're having. But on the other hand, all those things are happening in your mind. So is the life a great illusion altogether?
Well, I don't know. It's as far as that's a good piece of observation. As far as time is concerned, I do find it like we say, it's a good excuse, or it could be a bad excuse. We might use something as an excuse that is not very much acceptable. But time is also a mathematics, because if you have a society of people, or a global society of people, be they whatever ethnicity or background or whatever, that will agree that tomorrow at a certain point, they all agree that that's a certain time. So time becomes a language. It becomes lots of things. In music, time comes with a beat, like you say, Matt. One of the pieces of the orchestra is really counting, and that's based on time. So they have to meet at a certain point at the same time. So it is a very important piece of an illusion that to exist. If it were not for that, it would be total anarchy. So we all have to accept something that's an illusion, do we not?
We certainly have to live in the world, and what we perceive, and how we see the world, and how we believe it is reality for us, and that's hard fact. If you hit your head on the rock, it will hurt, at least if it's your own head. And what I'm writing in the time excuse article is that the true excuse, one of them, is that we say that we will change. We need time to change. that, I will be a better person, just give me a bit more time, or I will do that, or I will learn new skills. But many times, actually, you could start to change right now. You don't have to postpone that thing. You have to be already. And that's just a thought away. So the change is in many times only a thought away. You can just start to do some things differently, and it doesn't take time at all. And that's just something to think about as well.
Well, there are things that doesn't take time. Is that what you're saying? There are things that one can do it. It takes no time to do it.
Yeah, a lot of the sort of the constraints and the hindering factors are in our mind, are in our thinking. We are constrained by our thinking. Like you say that, music can be very creative and each and everyone can compose their own piece, and it's not the same. The same thing. The most of the limitations are created by ourselves. We create the limitations, how we live and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, and what are you doing in the morning, and what type of routines you're having, and you're just sort of stuck and fixed to those routines, and you don't do things differently. How often you just pick a new road, or you just walk some funny new way you've never been, or you explore or do something new you haven't done. Are you always creating something new, doing something exciting, something you know nothing about, something we know which you are not comfortable, or you're feeling a bit more concerned, or something that is not exactly something you already know and you are in control? And if you do not do those things, are you living? What are you doing? You're limiting yourself. It's your in your mind. You try to be in control. You try to predetermine your existence by the experiences and the history you're having. So you wanna repeat things, but that's not just how the nature works. It's just how our mind works. And for that purpose, if you wanna do something differently, if you wanna change something, you can just decide and do it. Just start to act differently. So in many cases, the limitations are only in our mind.
So let me just pose a question to you very quickly. Two things. Is there anything that we know of that is in existence that does not require time, and can time stand still?
Well, if you study quantum physics, for example, it doesn't exist. And if you're going to the science, that's the way. But like I said earlier on, time is your own perception. It's you create the time. So like this sayings that time flies, and or when you're waiting for something, it just goes so slowly. And one way to try to visualize or give an idea about it is that, when you're going to new town, you've never been there, new place, there's so many visual and audio impressions you're getting, so much exciting, different new things. And you are so consumed by those new sensations that, you also feel that the time flies. Or when you're just walking the same route to work, like each and every day, you might just realize that, you just went to the work and you do not recall almost anything from the walk or the drive you took just a few minutes ago. So time is whatever you perceive, or how you realize it. So it's up to you. For example, when you fall asleep and you just deeply in sleep, where is the time? Does it still exist? You don't have any recollection. Recall.
Well, the way it's defined, the clock is still ticking, if you will. That's the way I'm answering you. The clock is still ticking,
Yeah, it's the
even when you're
movement.
sleeping.
Yeah, the clock is the movement. It's there. You can track the movement of physical objects or something. And but is that the time, or is it just that the movement which observed? It's just a matter of how do you define it. But still, I'm not arguing that there's a clock that clock doesn't exist, and there's no time as a practical thing which helps us to synchronize and be on time and meet people on time and do those things we need to do in our lives. But it's more like a question that everyone, each and every one of us, has to observe and realize ourselves and start to see that, you know, what is it that creates the time for us, and how we personally observe it and realize it, and that all happens in our mind.
Again, I suppose for us to make an appointment and this what time we're going to come together per that appointment, we have to have trust. So as far as trust is concerned, nobody ever wins anything if there's nothing to be trusted. That's tough to think about. It is about trust, and the final outcome is not up to us. What do you think?
Yeah, trust is something that it's very delicate issue in a way that if you first trust a person and then something happens, it's very difficult to gain it back. And in many cases, it might be like a broken china that, you know, it's very difficult to put it together, and it takes a long time to heal if you betray or just lose the trust for someone. So one can say that, well, you always have a choice of trusting someone, and then it's up to another person to be worth your trust or not. But many times people might be a bit cynical or just asking that, you know, well, I've been trusting so many people, and so many times they've been just letting me down. What should I do? But on the other hand, you can ask that, you know, is it really up to you? Or would you do something differently? Is it then better to say that, you know, do not trust anyone? Does it make your life any better? In the book, I also write that it's finally so that the outcome is not up to you. We have to live our life. It's up to us how we build the relationships and how we interact with other people. If you don't trust anyone, you know, it's most likely you end up in some forest or some isolated place and do not see anyone because you do not trust anyone. But basically, most of or almost all of the or even all the human interaction is based on trust or the lack of trust.
Okay, so would you say then that trust is has to rely on someone, or would you say it's trust is letting ourselves be vulnerable, not and fragile? I can understand trusting one, letting oneself be vulnerable, but I don't know about fragile. I think that can be debated. But would you say again that trust is relying on someone, or letting ourselves be vulnerable?
Well, obviously, if you're trusting someone, you are letting yourself to be vulnerable in a way that another person can misuse the trust you're giving. For example, I'm giving you borrow me like a $50 or something, and you know, I give you it, and then it's up to you to give it to me back or not. So
Right.
that's just an example of it. And you could see many of these things, what happens in our life, you know, even business or whatever, you know, it's typically based on trust or degree of trust, how much you rely and are willing to trust another person or business or whatever. And many times you see that the other side of the coin is that if you do not trust, it's getting very expensive in many ways. You need to use a lot of lawyers, you have to have thick pile of contracts, and it makes life more complicated. And on the other hand, if there's a lot of trust, there's very little need for or securing or just preparation work beforehand. And it makes life more smoother and easy to work with. So one could say that, you know, more higher or sophisticated societies or cultures have a higher level of trust. But obviously, it's not simple, so simple as that. But it's also all the time up to the person to decide whom to trust. So you have to observe and evaluate yourself whether another not a person is worth your trust, and what degree of trust you can give him. So it's up to you to be vulnerable or fragile. And I would say that it's still the whole responsibility is in your own side. You have to make the judgment call and give the trust in the allow another person to be trusted in the level you see worthwhile, and you accepting to take the risk of being open and allowing the other person to have the chance.
Okay, so but ultimately, would it be fair to say that trust has to do with gambling?
Well, if you see life as a gambling, well, in a way,
In
but
other words, taking a chance?
well, life is about taking chances. You know, there's nothing which is constant, or there's nothing which is sure. You know, it's everything is unpredictable, and you know, there's nothing which is the same all the time. Only in your mind things can be sort of look the same, but they're never truly the same. So life is a gamble. So in that sense, it's no news. But like I said, you know, if you do not trust anyone, you most likely tend to then become isolated, and it makes your life very miserable because we need each other. So I don't know. Maybe you wanna tell, is life a gamble?
Okay. Very, very good. I've been definitely enlightened this time that I've spent with you, Katja. And it's been, I'm sure, very, very helpful as far as the audience is concerned. And we will be taking responses. And my suggestion to all of you is to get the book, Fragments of Reality. And this book is definitely something that I think should be in every household globally, because it speaks to all human beings, be whatever the ethnical background or the economic background or whatever. There's a tremendous amount of information that can be gleaned from this. But until we gain, we will keep all these things in mind, and there are lots and lots of other things coming in the future, so stay tuned. Thank you very much, and thank you, Peter.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure, and just wanna remind people that you can read the book free of charge online, and the web address for the to find the book is www.fragmentsofreality.com and /table.htm, and you can go directly and find the table of contents for my book, and you can find the book also from all the well-equipped bookstores and Amazon and online stores. Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Same here, and we'll talk again soon.